It is indeed a joy to greet you once again today in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, how we are rejoicing here at Worth Baptist Church over the blessings of God in the summer season. Now that we have reached almost the halfway point of the summer of 1971, we can report that this has been the greatest summer in our history. We began the summer much in prayer that God would send revival our way. And truly, in every measure, God has sent revival to Worth Baptist Church. Summertime is truly revival time at our church. As we continue through the months of the summer, we want to extend to you and to your family a cordial invitation to worship God with us. We believe that the services will be a blessing to your heart and to your life. Our Sunday school here at Worth Baptist Church begins at 10 o'clock. We have a thoroughly organized and graded Sunday school with a class for every member of your family. Our textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible and the Bible only. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. We believe that if there ever were a time when people need to hear the Word of God, it is today. All too long we have listened to the voice of the philosopher, we have listened to the voice of the psychologist, we've listened to all sorts of voices from everywhere. But the time has come when we must listen to God. What does the Lord have to say to the people of 1971? We believe what God has to say is recorded in His wonderful Word. This we preach, this we teach, and this we believe. So, we would invite you to get the whole family ready this morning. Bring them to Sunday school, where we'll study the Word of God. Currently, we are in a series of lessons on the Gospel according to Luke, highlights in this wonderful book, and highlights of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the time is 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. It's Sunday school time at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11. A message from the Word of God will thrill your soul. The wonderful singing by our choir, and the warm and friendly and spiritual atmosphere that you'll find to worship God in will thrill your heart here at Worth Baptist Church. In the Sunday evening worship services, I am now engaged in a series of messages from the book of the Revelation. Tonight we continue in chapter 11, the holy city, the temple area, the two witnesses, the beast, the wonderful things that are happening that God sets forth in His book that will happen during that awful period that we call the time of Jacob's trouble, the period of great tribulation. What about those 42 months that are listed in the Revelation chapter 11? What about the two witnesses? Who are they? And what is the significance of their ministry? These are questions that will be answered in my message tonight in the continuing series of messages from the book of the Revelation. Bring the whole family. Invite someone to come with you and enjoy the blessings of God in the Sunday evening worship hour at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our church is easily accessible from all parts of the city and of Tarrant County by way of Loop 820 and the Pauley Freeway. It would be our joy to have you worship God with us today in any or all the services of Worth Baptist Church. And we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. I know it's summertime and you're busily engaged with other things, but just a word, just a card of encouragement to let us know that you receive this broadcast and that it is indeed a blessing to your heart and to your life. We would be happy to send to you one of our booklets. Perhaps you'd like the booklet entitled Times Like These. This booklet contains over 400 scripture references. It has short messages in it. It has helps, easy helps to find the various places in the Scripture, those hard-to-find passages of Scripture. You'll find help and assistance in this little booklet entitled Times Like These, or the message in print entitled The Bible is Right. And with the emphasis upon the Word of God through Worth Baptist Hour and Worth Baptist Church, we believe this little booklet would be a real blessing to you. Write us this week, even today, as the broadcast leaves the air. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now my message on today's broadcast is entitled The Second Coming of Jesus Christ. I am going to read from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But before we read the Word of God, I would ask you to pause, stop what you're doing this moment, and join us in just a few moments of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this Lord's Day and for the opportunities that it brings to us to worship Thee. As this broadcast of Worth Baptist Hour reaches into the hearts and homes of those who listen, may the Holy Spirit bless their hearts, and may this broadcast and this message of hope today bring them to a full realization that we are living in the closing days of this age. For those who are without Christ, may this broadcast be the means of their trusting Him as their own personal Savior. For those who are out of church, for those who have drifted afar, who have lost contact with Thee and with the church and with Thy Word, we pray that this broadcast would be the means of their coming back to that place that they have left. For those who are sick and shut in, we would ask a special blessing for them, that in a very unusual way, this broadcast would bring joy and happiness to their hearts and their lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I shall begin reading at verse 13. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and these verses have a great message for us today. Listen carefully. Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." From the pen of the Apostle Paul comes the blessed and wonderful truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that the coming of Christ will be in two phases. Phase one, we believe that Jesus Christ will come in rapture for His saints. Phase two, we believe that Jesus Christ will come in revelation with His saints. At that coming, we believe that He will establish His kingdom upon the earth. Between the rapture and the revelation, there is a period of about 7 years. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. So says Jeremiah in his wonderful prophecy. Jesus describes it as the time of Jacob's trouble, as the great tribulation period, a period of intense suffering for those who are upon the earth after the coming of Christ for his saints. Now, as we approach the subject of the second coming of Christ, let us never forget that the Bible sets forth clearly the pattern and program that God has for the end time and for the return of his Son. The second coming of Jesus Christ is one of the most prominent doctrines in all the Bible. You will read about his coming wherever you read in the Scripture. One out of every 30 verses in the Bible mention the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, every time the first coming of Christ, that is the incarnation, his coming in the flesh, to live as man, to die, to be resurrected, to ascend back to the Father, every time his incarnation, his first coming, is mentioned one time, his second coming is mentioned eight times. The second coming of Jesus Christ is indeed the theme of Old Testament prophecy. There are 17 books of prophecy in the Old Testament. The major prophets and the minor prophets expound upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though they did not see this great expanse that we call the church age, they looked beyond that to a pinnacle of prophecy that set forth the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Isaiah says he will come. Isaiah describes the beauty and the majesty and the glory and the peace and the harmony and the righteousness of his kingdom upon this earth. Jeremiah speaks about that branch that shall come, that great king who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Daniel is given to us to set forth a complete and panoramic view of God's plan and God's pattern and God's program for the end of the age and the return of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom upon the earth. In the visions and dreams of Daniel, he outlines for us the time element of the coming of Christ in his birth. He outlines for us the time element of his coming to establish his kingdom upon the earth. So whether we look in Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel or Ezekiel or Hosea or Joel or Amos or Obadiah or Micah or any of the books of prophecy, outstanding in all of these books is the teaching and the prophetic utterance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself gave testimony concerning his second coming. In John chapter 14, verse 1, we read, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And here it is. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus Christ then sets forth in his own word to his own people the fact that he was coming. In the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus sets forth his coming in the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise and 5 of whom were foolish. The wise had their lamps, and they had oil in their lamps. And at midnight, when the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," those who were wise went out to meet him. Jesus sets forth in that parable the fact that there will be many who think that they are ready, who have made some sort of profession, but who do not possess the true gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus sets forth his coming. The apostles proclaimed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, the apostles set forth the hope, the blessed hope, that Jesus Christ will come again. The angels testified to his coming. When he was ascended back into the heaven, there from the Mount of Olives, his disciples stood gazing into the heaven. They looked longingly into the heavens while Jesus was taken away from them. And the angel spoke to them and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, whom you see taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." My, what a wonderful promise. What a word of comfort to those disturbed and troubled disciples there that day on the Mount of Olives. The angels reassured them that though Christ goes away, he will come again. You and I have that assurance today from the words of prophecy, from the words of the apostles, from the words of Jesus, from the words of the angels. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the blessed hope of the church. Note, I said it is the hope of the church, not of the world. For when Jesus comes, the world, after the church is taken out, will be thrown into the midst of that awful tribulation period. The blessed hope of the church is the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul declares in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We are taught in the Scripture as believers, as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we are taught to look for him. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, we read, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time." As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not to look for the Antichrist. We are not to look for the false prophet. We are not to look for the beast. We are to look for Jesus, for this is our blessed hope. And what a doctrine of comfort it is. I read a moment ago in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is our hope, and this is our comfort, the coming of Jesus Christ." Let us note that the coming of Jesus Christ will be a personal and visible return. We have seen it from Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, where the angel declared, as he went away, he would come again, that is, bodily, visibly. We read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, these reassuring words, "For the Lord himself," Jesus Christ, our Lord, himself shall come again. He will not send an angel, nor a patriarch, nor a prophet, nor a priest. The Bible declares that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and he shall be accompanied by a great shout, his own victorious, triumphant shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the Bible declares that the first thing that's going to happen at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at his return in rapture for his saints, will happen out at the graveyard, there where so many tears have been shed, where there has been so much sorrow and heartache and trouble, and oh, so many people have gone, perhaps you've gone just recently, there to the open grave, lowered into the mother earth, the form of that precious, blessed, loved one of yours. Cheer up, my friend. All of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus Christ, all of those who have died in the faith, the Bible declares that they shall be resurrected. They shall be raised at his coming. And then those many Christians all over the world who are alive when Jesus comes again, Paul says they shall be caught up together with them, that is, with the risen dead, with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the coming of Christ means the resurrection of all who have died in the faith. It means the translation and the catching up of all of those who are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. The days before the second coming are compared in the Bible to the days of Noah and Lot. Jesus makes that comparison in Luke chapter 17. He declares that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are living in those days in the middle of 1971, in this 20th century. Those things that describe the days of Noah and the days of Lot can describe our day. Paul further enlarges upon it as he writes to young Timothy concerning the last days. He calls them perilous days, difficult days, trying days. The last days are upon us. Surely every word of prophecy from the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return for His own in rapture, every single prophetic verse has already been fulfilled. So then the coming of Christ is imminent. That is, He may come at any moment. He may come at any second. He may come at any time. Today, this morning, this afternoon, tonight, at midnight, in the morning, He may come. Jesus Christ is coming for His own. He is coming for all of those who have anchored their faith in Him, for all of those who have experienced the new birth, for those who have come into that right relationship with God. Jesus Christ, in His return, will awaken the dead and will translate the living who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the time of the coming of Christ, as far as the day or the hour specifically, is not known. Some have tried to set dates for His coming. How foolish. We are to look for Him at any moment, and yet we do not know the hour. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Though we do not know the exact hour or the exact moment or the exact day, we do know that we, according to the Scriptures, are living in the last days, and the coming of Christ is imminent. This worldwide mockery, this worldwide apostasy that's abroad in the land today, these are just some of the things that point to the imminent, the soon coming of Jesus Christ. It is our purpose, broadcasting the gospel on Worth Baptist Hour, to tell you today that Jesus Christ is coming again. If you are not ready to meet Him, I want to remind you in just a moment that you can be ready. By simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting Him as your Savior, by owning and acknowledging the fact that you are lost, by confessing that you without Christ are hopeless, you can this moment, right now, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. In one place in the Bible, the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer comes back, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." All you have to do is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Invite Him to come into your heart and life this moment, and you will have that blessed hope that we've been talking about, of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust if you're not ready, that you'll get ready this moment by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and say, "We invite you again to come today to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth, and hear the gospel of redeeming grace." So, until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish the best for you, for your family, for your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.